This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Hey, congrats, man. Congrats, man. Congrats. Give it up for yourself. Hey, congrats. Hey, man, we talked about it starting on Wednesday, right? No strain. No game, right? You guys relentlessly went out, man, and showed to 1 second on the clock. It took everybody in this room, it took every single second for us to strain and be relentless as possible to finish 1-0, all right? And that's what it takes every single week, all right? I love everybody in this room. Appreciate the effort from everybody, all right? Support staff, coaches, players, everybody here, man. We do this thing together, right? Love the way we hunt together, and it'll always be about that. Team first every single time. Y'all with me?
Sir.
Hey, man. Got another one Thursday. Quick turnaround for us. We'll get the schedule to you guys. We'll be ready to go. But right now, I want everybody thinking about recovery. All right, rest, recover. Rest, recover. Let's rinse and repeat Thursday night. We going to New York, baby.
Yeah. I love that D'Amico's excited about everything.
I think, he's the most. You know what? It's funny. We talk about who's a dog and who's not, D-A-W-G.
Yeah.
D'Amico is also the most D-O-G, like an actual dog in terms of temperament, I think. You know, like, the guy that's like, he's always ready to go. He's always got a smile on his face. He'll throw, I'll play fetch with you. Of course I will right now. Let's do this. Let's have some fun with this life.
Do you think there's any planes that he gets on as a D-O-G dog and he's like, hey, wait a second. You're going on vacation and taking me to the kennel.
Wait a second, I thought I was going trick-or-treating, but we're going to play the Jets.
I recognize this route. We're going to play the Jets. No, he seems
excited.
That would
be Jack Easterby. If Jack Easterby, we'd be around. he'd have D'Amico involved in all kinds of nefarious schemes, and D'Amico wouldn't even know it, you know?
Oh, man.
I think two things about that little clip. I got excited when he talked about no strain, no gain.
Wow.
Because, obviously, it's a play on no pain, no gain. But it's a better and more accurate way to frame it. D'Amico is a master of reframing things and getting guys to approach challenges a certain way.
Yeah.
Remember his second year as coordinator in San Francisco, they told a story during the playoffs about Lenore, the cornerback, who was going to get targeted because he was playing opposite a much better cornerback.
Yep.
And D'Amico told him, like, look, yeah, you're going to get targeted more. You got to look at those as opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Those are your chances to make plays. And Lenore ended up making some big plays in those playoffs because they were targeting him,
He's still a fixture on their team now.
Yeah, so D'Amico's really good at that stuff. The other side of it, though, too, is in framing the challenge of playing on Thursday Night Football, there are a lot of things that suck about it. We had NFL Films in here filming some footage that they might use for like 6 seconds in the pregame.
The big open that they do.
So I wasn't going to talk truly about the challenge of playing Thursday Night Football because a lot of it is just bogus BS that you have to...
That you have to play Thursday
Night Football? This is the thing, Bezos.
Yeah.
You got to... this is the thing that sucks and is stupid about it. It's that if you're injured, it's not just a matter of like, getting your energy back up and everything else. It's hard to get out there and play on an ankle that maybe you wouldn't have even practiced on a Thursday
right.
in a normal week.
Most weeks you'd be listed as limited on the practice report.
Yeah.
You're getting ready to play an NFL game.
Right. And you're playing an actual game. But the timing of it is such... And I would imagine D'Amico is going to talk about this during the week. You know, he talks about recovery being the most important thing.
Yeah.
You've got 4 days to recover, 4 nights to get sleep, all those things. You can get a huge advantage over other teams that if they're not – in a team like the Jets, they're right at the point where some guys who are of a lower caliber of professionalism – might start to let go of the rope a little
bit.
That's
what I'm wondering.
That's a good question by you that you asked earlier. So, this is – I do think there's a huge advantage in having the right mindset, not on Thursday night because everybody's going to show up and play, but in your preparation, when you're tired, when your body doesn't feel right, the mental side of this, and then also getting – maybe normally on a Sunday night you go out and you have a few drinks with the fellas – don't do that, obviously. Yeah, right. This is a week where every night of sleep and the benefit you get from it is amplified that much more. So I think I like that part of D'Amico's preparation.
Yeah, I trust
this
team and I trust this coach in this situation. This should be fun, man. Jets on Thursday night. Let's dig into yesterday, though. So the Texans, they beat the Colts 23-20. Once again, there were junctures in this game where this game didn't have to be as close as it was. But
this game was on an acid trip.
This game was on.
There's so many weird things that kept happening.
There were.
Fueled mostly by Anthony Richardson, but other weird stuff as well.
Well, there was a good play that Anthony Richardson had, and this is what got the Colts an early lead here in this game. This was Anthony Richardson getting nearly half of his passing yards yesterday on one play after a mix-up in the Texans secondary.
On second and nine, Richardson calls for the ball. Here it is. Fakes the give. Steps back deeper. Wants to unload deep. He does. Downfield it goes. And Downs is wide open. Left side 35-30. Left sideline 20. 15-10-5. Touchdown. Josh Downs running free in the secondary and scoring for the Colts to give them the lead. A 69-yard touchdown pass.
How do you get that wide open?
Well,
a pick.
Tell
pick.
Him, Seth.
A rub.
Yeah.
When it's legal, it's called a rub.
Yeah.
I felt like the receiver that picked off Jalen
Petrie.
Petrie. I thought he altered his path a little bit, but it wasn't enough to be egregious.
I felt like Petrie kind of more ran into his teammate than anything.
Yeah. That's what it was. Huh?
Yeah.
So it was a clean rub that happens on those crossing routes.
I didn't go back and watch it, but that's what I thought I saw the one time I watched that play right
now.
There.
That's where I got nervous, because the old Anthony Richardson that would have missed that wide open wide receiver, Josh Downs. He can make the incredible circus throws.
That was early in the game.
Yeah. And we'll get to when Jalen Petrie makes up for this play. But that's just the one area of some of the inexperience in the secondary that still pops up at times.
Yeah.
There's going to be a time where Jalen Petrie is a really smart player, but he's still young and is playing in this role for the first time, this amount of man coverage that he's playing. That's going to get better. I think that'll get better over the course of the season. He's doing a lot of really positive things.
It was just so frustrating because to that point, the Colts had scored over the course of the two games. They'd scored on the Texans six times.
Yeah.
Four touchdowns in the opener in week one, and then a field goal and a touchdown yesterday to go up 10-3. Every single one of those drives included some 50-plus yard play, if not a touchdown of 50-plus yards. Even the field goal that they kicked in the first quarter of this game was set up by a 55-yard kickoff return.
Yeah.
So, all the things we're saying going into this game, like the one thing I know that you and I kept listening first, like just don't give up those big plays. Just don't give up. This team cannot put together, the Colts I'm talking about, 12-play, 82-yard drives by getting 8-yard chunks at a time.
No. Unless part of it is Anthony Richardson and Jonathan. Some of their big, you look at their big plays in this game, and they had way more runs than passes in the big. But those big passes were damaging. Yeah. You know, like Josh Downs down in the end zone was it a Downs touchdown that was reversed and made 1 yard line?
Yeah. Yep.
So Downs specifically yesterday. That could have been backbreaking, and it was one of those things where, like, would they have been better with Joe Flacco in the game? I don't know. I can't figure Anthony Richardson out. I do not. He's a horrendous quarterback, but he's a terrifying running back.
Yeah.
And I think I was trying to figure out yesterday whether is Derrick Henry a better running back playing quarterback than Anthony Richardson? Because Anthony Richardson is like a running back who's allowed to throw a bunch of halfback passes.
Oh, yeah, Henry plays wildcats.
Henry actually
sometimes
plays pretty well. He has a nice jump pass with touch. I feel like Derrick Henry could be better doing what Anthony Richardson's doing right now.
Be a fun experiment.
Than Anthony Richardson is.
Be a fun experiment. So the Texans go down 10-3 on that Josh Downs touchdown. I like this that they responded with a touchdown drive of their own. Now, we should point out, on this touchdown drive, they replaced Kenyon Green with Jarrett Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to move the football down the field. 10 plays, 70 yards, 5 minutes and 46 seconds. This is what it's supposed to look like. And it ends with this Joe Mixon touchdown run.
First down Texans at the Colts 14, Stroud under center. Handoff Mixon, starts right, cuts left, 10, 5. Mixon still going, takes out a defender, and takes the ball into the end zone. Jones couldn't bring him down. Mixon has 6 for Houston, and they can tie the game with the extra point.
Mixon with a grown man run. Get off me. What a run by Joe Mixon. I am a fan.
It is.
Dre was on a heater yesterday,
no,
man.
Mixon, my God. You talk about the heart and the soul of the team, old school running back, all of those things. He 100% makes the players around him better.
Yeah.
When you talk about MVPs of a team or a unit and what can they do, man, Mixon right now might be the MVP in terms of his ability to make guys around him better than they are.
Yeah.
And it's with the offensive line. They have a lot of plays where four guys are having a good rep and one guy's screwing up or one guy's getting blown into the backfield. And Joe Mixon turns a lot of those plays into positives or relative positives. Now, that play there was blocked up really well. You got a nice, I can't remember who the tight end was, but had a really nice kick out block, cut block, I believe. And but then Joe Mixon just does it with grit getting into the end zone.
Yeah, it was a bit of everything on that run, so that was cool. Now comes the sequence at the end of the half, which decided the game, in my opinion. Ultimately, this was the difference in the game. The Texans have a drive where they're looking to get points. They're doing their thing. They're kind of moving slow at the end of the half to make sure they're possessing the football. And unfortunately, they get to a 3rd-and-8 at the Indianapolis 36. They're in field goal range, and CJ takes a sack. Can't take a sack there. That was one of the few mistakes I thought CJ did. Now, the offensive line was not good, but you got to find a way to get rid of that football. CJ sacked, loses 9 yards. Now you're out of field goal range. Now you're punting. And you punt back to the you punt it back to the Colts, who get the ball on their own 5-yard line. So kudos to Tommy Townsend, who, similar to the end of the Buffalo game, after the Texans kind of botched some things around field goal range, Tommy Townsend, because that was the Buffalo game was CJ throwing the intentional grounding.
Yeah.
So it's a similar situation to where you're in field goal range, you make a mistake, now you're out of field goal range. Tommy Townsend pins them down on the 5. Again, similar to the Josh Allen situation at the end of the game. I can justify letting Josh Allen throw the football at least once just to see if he gets you a play. I cannot justify Anthony Richardson throwing the football down inside his own 10-yard line. So here's what happened. 1st-and-10 at the 5, and they run Jonathan Taylor on first down.
Yeah.
Clock's running. Neither team's using a timeout.
Right.
D'Amico seemed content to go into the locker room 10-10 at the half. Otherwise, he'd have been using a timeout there, I would imagine. 2nd-and-3, they let Anthony Richardson throw the football with 39 seconds left, and it's damn near a pick 6 by Kamari Lassiter.
Mm-hmm.
So the very next play, what do? Do you hand the ball off and just go in the locker room? Nope. You drop Anthony Richardson, the worst passer in football, back to throw on his own 12-yard line with under 30 seconds to go in the half. And here's what happens.
Richardson, empty backfield. He's in the gun. Here's the snap. Richardson looking, firing right side. It's picked off by Petrie. Petrie running across the 10 to his right, and he's stacked up inside the 8-yard line. Richardson coughs it up. Jalen Petrie with the INT. 1st-and-goal, Houston.
First and goal.
I mean, the funny thing about that is Petrie's had some good examples this year of baiting guys. I thought he did a good job of in the Green Bay game. He kind of baited Jordan Love on what ended up being a Neville Hewitt interception, but it was his ability to disguise that was part of the things that created that. This is just Jalen Petrie being back in his zone where he'd started out. There were no deep routes, and Anthony, it's an empty backfield. I'm guessing Jalen Petrie is thinking, all right, this is a QB draw or something, except they didn't. There's no excuse for Shane Steichen calling this play with that quarterback, unless he's trying to get Anthony Richardson benched.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. You've got a guy who's got a career. He's below 50% completion percentage right now. He's thrown more. Going into that game, he's thrown twice as many interceptions as touchdowns.
Seth.
And you put it completely in his passing hand.
He was 2-for-14 when he threw that interception.
Yeah. Yeah.
2-for-14.
2-for-14. And yet, I mean, there was a while there where his QB rating was still over 100 when he was like 2-for-11 because of the long,
81 yards.
Yeah, because the 81-yard pass.
69 yards or whatever it was.
They converted 2 third downs on the day. They were 2-for-14 or something on third downs.
Incredible.
It's crazy.
Incredible.
And yet I'm still scared of him. So Jalen Petrie, good job. That was just Jalen Petrie understood the situation, understood the route combo they were seeing. And he was in perfect position to jump that through sheer idiocy by Shane Steichen and Anthony Richardson.
It's, I mean, thank God. And then the very next play, here's what happened.
Strat of the gun, first and goal at the 7-1 back, Mixon. Bunch formation right, CJ to throw, looking. CJ steps up, fires right side of the end zone.
Yes!
Caught, touchdown, Houston, Tank Dell. The Texans take the lead.
It is homecoming weekend for the University of Houston. Only proper that Tank put one in the end zone.
There you go.
My only complaint about that was that they scored immediately, rendering the tight end the timeouts that the Texans had saved.
Oh yeah,
moot. I think there were Colts fans that actually wished the Texans had used all their timeouts, like with multiple attempts down there at point blank range, just to really drive the point home that y'all done screwed up. You are idiots. What the hell? Because Colts fans probably were hoping that Anthony Richardson would get benched at that point.
Oh my god, yeah, they had to be right. I mean, I know as a Texan fan coming out at halftime, so that touchdown put the Texans up 17-10. They handed the Texans, I say handed, that was a hell of a throw by C.J. Stroud.
John Harris weighing in. Richardson checked into that play.
Johnny was down there. He would know. Oh, my God.
Richardson.
Thank God for Anthony Richardson, man. So that they handed the Texans the opportunity for 7 points. C.J. Stroud took it. That was a hell of a throw to Tank Dell. And the Texans go into the locker room up 17-10. Game they win by 3 points. You give them 7 points at the end of the half right there. So let's get to a couple things in the second half here, and then we'll start acknowledging some people. The Texans, 17-10 at the half. They continued throughout the second half. They never trailed in the second half of this game. Once they took that 17-10 lead, they eventually made it 20-10. Colts would get a field goal to make it 20-13. Texans get the ball, and this was I don't know if this was the drive where Diggs got hurt, but it was definitely the play you're about to hear was after Diggs got hurt. And this is something the Texans may need with Stephon Diggs out and with Nico Collins out for at least one more game this Thursday. C.J. Stroud converting a huge, huge play to John Metchie.
C.J. out of the gun. In the pocket, looking, now dancing to the right side, directing traffic, throws downfield, and caught by Metchie! Inside the 25, heads for the sideline. What a play to John Metchie to the 21-yard line. They cash in.
That was on a 2nd-and-19. The Texans had 1st-and-10 at the end of the third quarter at the Indianapolis 40. So they're in range to get another score, and they come off the sideline to begin the fourth quarter. And they get the 4-yard loss by Mixon was the last play of the third quarter. 2nd-and-14, Tunsil gets a false start. Hadn't had one in a month, and he gets a false start there. 2nd-and-19, that was the play. That Metchie caught that on 2nd-and-19 to get them into the red zone.
And right when CJ started scrambling, John Metchie was just sitting in the hook curl area there in the middle of the field with two defenders near him.
Mm-hmm.
CJ started scrambling on the sideline. CJ had two receivers downfield on the right sideline, and Metchie just comes over, gets open, uses that space, and CJ found him, and that was beautiful.
Good
that
to
was
see.
A nice scramble drill there. Yep. And him also, you know, CJ having the presence of mind that as he's working towards the sideline, he's coming back across his body to see John Metchie coming open. That was the kind of stuff that didn't feel like would have happened in the preseason, where Metchie just didn't quite seem to be in the flow of things.
Yeah.
That was beautiful on that. It was just flat-out scramble drill.
Yep, good chemistry right there. Now, the next series of downs ended with Metchie catching a negative 3-yard missile screen with Xavier Hutchinson as his blocker. I don't know if on a 3rd-and-2, gotta-have-it play on the Indianapolis 13, I'm throwing a missile screen with my two most experienced guys catching
the
ball.
With a guy up on the ball, I just don't know.
I didn't get that.
You're
pounding Mixon on that series. Mixon got you to 3rd-and-2 on that series.
Sometimes the Texans have to rely on their offensive line to block, which, you know, like every play.
Yeah.
And, hey, it is what it is.
Yeah.
There's other times where I fear that Bobby trusts his wide receivers, his blockers, a little too much.
A little too much, yeah. So that play, I didn't like that play call at all. Texans kick a field goal. They go up 23-13. Colts come back. They put together a 70-yard drive. Josh Downs, a big part of that again. Initially a touchdown. It was reversed, and Jonathan Taylor walks in from 1 yard out. So now it's 23-20, and the Texans get the ball. And they're putting a good drive together. Ultimately, it was a 9-play, 52-yard drive that ended in the inside the Indianapolis 10-yard line because of, I believe we've got the play right here, because of this play right here.
CJ with the toss to Joe, and it's going to be a loss on the play. Is it a fumble?
It is
a fumble. Odengbo took it down.
It was a turnover. However, the runner was down by contact.
All right, they're going to call him down by contact.
Okay, that highlight was truncated a little bit. They didn't play Mark, I'm assuming, Mark doing a play-by-play of a would-be touchdown right there by Odengbo. Do I have his name right
Odengbo,
there?
Odengbo, yes.
Odengbo, yeah. That was a hell of a play. I mean, if that ball was pitched forward, it would have been an interception. It never hit the ground.
I know. You're right.
Yeah.
So good job, CJ. It's not an interception.
No,
it was. But I will say, I mean, this is part of the offensive line coming back to bite here, too. It's that the play design and running it in that moment, tricky. I mean, Juice Scruggs gets driven back into CJ enough that I feel like CJ's feet were a little messed up, and it ended up being not a perfect pitch, but also Joe Mixon had to alter his route because you've got a defensive lineman in his face immediately, blowing by Robert
it
Woods.
Can't happen.
Tytus Howard's trying to pull around Robert Woods. It was too cute. It was ugly and disjointed. Yes, a little too cute.
Yeah.
A little too cute.
For that moment, it was too cute.
It's like Bobby in his oversized cap where he looks a little too cute to be an offensive coordinator sometimes. He looks a little too much like a teenager getting ready to go to his sophomore year of high school.
How were you with Bobby yesterday?
Not great, Jim. Not great.
I mean, the two plays we just talked about are problematic, man.
They're problematic. There's some things in the run game that have worked well, and they're starting to get their feel for it. I think the tight ends, he's learning how to use his tight ends and what they can and can't do. So like that part of it is good. You're dealing with the absence of Nico Collins, and at the end of the game, Stephon Diggs. But there's a lot of the stuff that's going on the offense right now when it comes to pass protection with the offensive line, the tight ends, the running backs, that still just feels like they can't get the basics right. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, that comes back on the offensive coordinator. Whether it's too much complexity or not teaching the game plan right or whatever their keys are on specific plays, they're just not on the same page.
Yep.
And it compounds. They're not dumb guys out there.
Yep.
They're not stupid. And whenever offensive linemen especially look stupid, when I know that they're not stupid, I go back to coaching, and something's not right here.
Quick text. Good morning. And by the way, the text is from the 5 Hour Energy fan line. 5 Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. Good morning. What do you think the plan is for Kenyon Green moving forward? This week, it's probably Kenyon Green again, only because I can't imagine Jared Patterson coming back from a concussion in 3 days.
Yeah. This defensive line, like the Jets defense, you fired a defensive-minded head coach who's had nothing but really good defenses going back to San Francisco. So for how many years now?
You essentially fired a good defensive coordinator while firing your head coach.
Right, right. So you fired Robert Saleh.
That makes no sense.
You changed the offensive coordinator, which Saleh wanted to do. But now the defense looks worse.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, there's been no spark offensively, even with the addition of Davante Adams. It looks like they've mangled this. But the Texans go up to New York as I thought that they were 1.5-point underdogs.
It's a pick 'em. It opened as a pick 'em.
Okay.
Went to Jets -1. It's Texans -1 as of a half hour.
Oh, really?
Ago. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so that thing's floating through the zero
right now. Some of the sharps are out there straddling this mofo.
Who knows,
huh?
Man? Okay. They don't have much time to analyze it. It's Thursday night. Got to get on it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, let's acknowledge some people. Let's get to acknowledge me. We acknowledge big performances from over the weekend. Hopefully we get to all these. We'll do a few Texans here. Joe Mixon, we can acknowledge and just rapid fire this. And we talked a lot about Mixon today.
He glared at me, everybody. If you couldn't see it on the YouTube channel or Twitch, he glared at me. He said, well, hopefully we get through all these.
No. Because I put too
Sean
many
Sean gave
in here.
Me a warning glance.
That's not
a
true.
Stern,
that's
yes,
a lie.
Yes.
That's a flat out lie.
It's 100% true.
I put too many in here, but that's okay. We can do Mixon. We can do quickly. We've talked about Mixon a ton today already.
No, I love Joe Mixon.
I do too.
Joe Mixon is everything I want my future grandchild to play football like.
Yeah,
I want him if football is still legal by that point.
Yes. Fourth straight 100-yard game in games he started and finished for the team. If he starts and finishes a game, he gets 100 yards. It's a statistical fact. It's not an opinion. It's not conjecture. It's not fake news.
And it's not, man, there will never, ever, ever be a debate about, is Mixon really that good, or is it just that he's running behind the 1990s Cowboys offensive line?
Yards over expected.
There will be lots. There's not going to be any like, well, he was the recipient of a lot of good things around
right,
him.
Right,
he
right.
is the straw that mixes the drink in a lot of ways.
Indeed. I want to acknowledge C.J. Stroud.
Acknowledge me!
In going back and watching the condensed version of this game and just going back, looking at some of the numbers, and then just remembering how much he was running around again yesterday. It wasn't quite Packers game back, but he was under a lot of pressure. I think that might have been – it sounds crazy to say, because for C.J. it was just your garden variety, one touchdown pass, no interception, 285-yard game in the box score. And yet, if you watch that game, you know how much pressure he was under during that game. That he only took two sacks and threw no interceptions in that game. I think that was one of C.J. Stroud's better games as Texans quarterback yesterday.
He's had a few games this year where you look up at the box score and you realize, wait, he did a good job, because it doesn't look like quintessential vintage C.J. Stroud.
It looks like a struggle every play.
And then you go back and you're right. When you start watching the end zone copy, you realize, wow, to get to 60-plus percentage completion in this game, he had to do some pretty special things. The thing I worry about with CJ, and there's almost no correct way for him to handle this right now with the pass protection, is that you can pick out times in the last couple of weeks where, if he had held onto the ball a little longer, he would have had Diggs. The play yesterday when he threw an out to Schultz and it was an errant throw and Diggs had his hands up in the air, it was because Diggs was coming open and would have been wide open for a deep strike.
Yep.
Except that CJ had pressure in his lap.
Yeah.
So he's got to find this balance now with inadequate pass protection where, look, you got to get rid of the ball more quickly. And Schultz is your read there. He's open. I'm not going to mess around with this. I'm going to get rid of the football. And that's a hard place to be as a quarterback, because you got to understand and accept, and he's doing this, that you're going to miss out on some opportunities downfield.
Yep. Okay, let's skip ahead here. I want to quickly acknowledge the Texans secondary.
Acknowledge
who
me.
Held Anthony Richardson to the second lowest completion percentage of a quarterback throwing the ball 30 yards or more in the last 10 years. The only one lower was one the Texans secondary held Josh Allen to a few weeks ago. Jameis Winston.
Acknowledge
orator.
Me.
Yes, he's gone from annoying wannabe country preacher to now he is an orator.
He's an orator.
Now that he's a winner, now that he is like obviously better than Deshaun Watson, now he is an orator.
He won yesterday.
Yeah.
29-24, beat the Ravens. It's not like he went and beat the Panthers or something like that. He beat the Ravens yesterday. Threw for over 300 yards. This was Jameis Winston in the pregame yesterday.
Jameis, I can tell you're taking it all in right now. You're about to make your first start since 2022. Ken Dorsey said that he's been preaching to you to play smart but not conservative. What do you expect from yourself?
This is the day that the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it.
You're looking really focused right now. You told us this week that everyone inside this building believes that this is the time you guys can turn it around. What's been the message?
Unwavering faith. Ultimate belief, dependent on the Lord. That's all we got.
You told me no nerves, just excitement and butterflies. Still feel that way?
Unwavering faith, ultimate belief, dependence on the Lord.
The message is clear, guys. Thank you, Jameis.
See, the sideline reporter finally got on his level at the end. She was asking it with a sideline kind of inflection. And
Jameis is like, don't make me use scripture to get passive aggressive on you, lady. I'm gonna say it with an increasingly menacing tone.
So
after the first one, he stared at the camera.
Yeah.
He said it into the camera. If they'd lost that game, this would have been If he'd had a bad game.
Yeah.
I don't know. We might not have used that clip because it would have been a little bit sacrilegious.
Yeah, a little bit. But fortunately, he went out, won the game, and we got post-game James.
Yeah.
It's not often that you get another opportunity like you have just received in the NFL. What does it mean to lead these guys, and what could be the start of what you said is something special moving forward?
Man, it's a white boy from Detroit that I really admire named Eminem. He said, "You only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity lasts once in a lifetime." And I know I got a quote, you know, Eminem, he from Detroit, he right up the road, but man, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful that the Lord provided me with this opportunity. I'm grateful for my teammates, my coaches, and these amazing fans.
Unbelievable performance today. Congratulations, James.
Unbelievable performance in that post-game interview. The Lord and Eminem. It's the two people that inspired
him. Is that
him
the white
victory.
Boy? Is that...
White boy was Eminem. It wasn't a white boy and Eminem.
I want to thank two people, Eminem and some other cracker ass.
Jameis is a dream, man. He is a dream.
For somebody, Jameis is old. I keep thinking he's not a kid, obviously.
No.
He's a full grown man.
No.
So good job, Jameis Winston.
Can Jameis and Eminem pray for Stephon Diggs' knee for us? Is there a quote that we can get out there to get Stephon Diggs' knee?
I don't even know which celebrities
this?
I want to talk about until after the election's
good
over.
Good call,
Seth. Everybody.
That's a good call.
I say, if I'm not either crushing Eminem or building him up, people are going to think they know my political beliefs.
Good
so
call.
I'll just take a hiatus from any celebrity for the next few days.
As long as we're talking about the gods, the football gods in this case, I feel like they were trolling us a little bit with this one yesterday, considering Nico Collins is out with a hamstring. Stephon Diggs goes down with what, who knows, maybe an ACL injury.
Yeah.
We don't know. Noah Brown.
Acknowledge me.
Hail Mary at the end of the, here's what it sounded like. The end of the Washington-Chicago game yesterday. Chicago leads by 3, 15-12. Here was the final play of the game.
Bears at 8 deep for them with the goal line. They bring 3. Daniels backing up. He's just going to have to let one fly. Goes to the right side. Steps away from the defenders. Gives himself some time. Now steps up, fires. Heads towards the end zone. It is
Wow. I didn't know when they were going to say Noah Brown's name. Maybe never. That was Noah Brown catching that Hail Mary yesterday. You know the thing that made a lot of that got a lot of run from that Hail Mary, and I feel like you're watching
it
right
now. Yeah, the defensive back who
Tyreek Stevenson
had his back. Tyreek Stevenson had his back to the actual line of scrimmage as the snap after the ball had already been snapped, taunting the crowd.
Taunting the Washington crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, which I mean ultimately I don't think this is kind of like an outfielder being mic'd in a Major League Baseball game. By the time the ball was thrown, Stevenson had been checked into the play, and he knew which play was coming.
It's bad mojo, man.
But it is. It's bad mojo.
Yeah.
And he ends up being one of the leapers there at the end.
Yeah.
This is relevant to this week's matchup for the Texans in that Aaron Rodgers is eerily and freakishly good at Hail Marys.
He's the Hail Mary
master. Yeah, he's got some of the most successful Hail Mary attempts among quarterbacks in NFL history. And the Texans have a history this season of allowing some big chunk plays
they
in the
do.
Passing game.
They do indeed.
So I'm not going to laugh too much at the misfortune of the Bears right this
no,
moment.
No. Well, Tyreek Stevenson, I will. That's just dumb.
Oh, yeah, Tyreek Stevenson couldn't keep his hands out of Texans' faces. Poke Nico Collins, give him the old Moe and Curly.
Yep.
In
sure
that game.
Did. Yep, in the Sunday night
And then
game.
Nico destroyed him.
Yep, had it coming to him, man. Had it coming to
him. Oh, good. I'm glad that was Tyreek Stevenson.
Yes. Marcel Reed.
Acknowledge me.
A little college football in here. Freshman, your Aggies, Seth.
Mm-hmm.
Big win over LSU.
That's right.
On Saturday night. I love seeing Brian Kelly angry, which is most of the time. You know, like even when he's winning, he's angry.
He's an angry fella.
Yeah, he's a coach of LSU who used to coach Notre Dame. But Marcel Reed, the freshman quarterback, who... Kirk Herbstreit was turning it into like a Juan Soto. Hey, do you know Juan Soto is 21 years old?
Yeah.
Situation. Hey, do you know that Marcel Reed played with Kirk Herbstreit's son in Nashville?
Mm-hmm. Did he mention it over and over again?
Like six times
after
Reed came into the game. Yeah. Now, he was doing.
Was it relevant?
Yeah, it was. I mean, because he was, I mean, Marshall Reed, to a lot of people watching that game, was probably an unknown. He's a freshman quarterback. Yeah. But he came into that game only threw two passes, but it was for 70 yards. It was the damage he did on the ground that really helped A&M get over the top in this game. Look, this is a game LSU led 17-7, and they lost 38-23. The Aggies outscored them 31-6 down the stretch. I mean, we are on a collision course. I don't have a dog in the fight, Texas and Texas A&M, but they are on a collision course right now for a spot in the SEC title game.
Yeah.
And those tickets are already going for a ton.
Oh, boy, you guys wanted that rivalry back? Oh, my goodness.
It's back. Yeah, it's back. So that's pretty cool.
The state of Texas is back, Sean?
I don't know if you heard. State of Texas is football.
Football
in the state
is
of
back.
Texas is back.
Yeah,
it's big. I think this football thing's going to take hold here. I think it's got a shot.
We had one of those NFL films guys that was in here. He's from Pennsylvania originally. Yeah. We were talking about like high school football in PA, and it's funny because it's big. But he was like, but you know, it's not. I mean, everybody always says it kind of a power, and it's not Texas.
It is pretty.
There's no
big,
place
though.
Quite like Texas. No, it's huge. It's huge, but the schools aren't as big in Pennsylvania.
Right, right.
You know, like they don't have these. $20 million facilities necessarily.
Correct.
It's just nothing is like Texas high school football.
You're right about that. Hey, let's give away some tickets to some Texas college football this weekend. Kansas State coming to town to play the University of Houston. Big win for the Cougs this weekend. Caller number 5 is going to get on out to TDCU Stadium this weekend to see U of H and Kansas State. 713-572-4610. Be caller number 5 right now, and you are on your way. We're doing this all week, so keep it tuned to Sports Radio 610. Up next, we mentioned this earlier. Let's touch on this in the final segment before we hand things over to Mark Vandermeer and John Harris at 8 a.m. Texans Monday. The trade deadline's a week from tomorrow. Is Nick Caserio going to be shopping for some items maybe he wasn't expecting to be shopping for before yesterday's game? We'll discuss that coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.